Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. And while you're turning there, I just need to read something that has encouraged me. I was reading a book this week unrelated to any of this, and I was finishing it up, and it's called Simply Christian by Tom Wright, a British Christian. And his last paragraph, it just really spoke to me. I'd like to read it as we begin. Made for spirituality, we wallow in introspection. Made for joy, we settle for pleasure. Made for justice, we clamor for vengeance. Made for relationship, we insist on our own way. Made for beauty, we are satisfied with sentiment. But new creation has already begun. The sun has begun to rise. Christians are called to leave behind in the tomb of Jesus Christ all that belongs to brokenness and incompleteness of this present world. It is time, in the power of the Spirit, to take up our proper role, our fully human role, as agents, heralds, and stewards of the new day that is dawning, that quite simply is what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus Christ. He has thrown the door open before us. Shall we enter in? These were very encouraging words for me. And then yesterday, I was at a home of one of our member families who lost a child a couple weeks ago. So here we're working through these issues and went to the home of some people who had lost a young daughter a couple weeks ago. And we were talking and crying and laughing, and just a lot of things were emotional at the moment yesterday afternoon. And then I saw on their wall a cross like this, a cross we had given them as new members when they came into the church a year or so ago, and we do with every new family that joins. And I saw that cross there. It's kind of interesting. It was in the room behind the room we were in, and I was looking at them, and over the shoulder of the man, I saw this cross. And it was just such a picture to me to realize that as we're grieving over the death of this daughter, there's the cross just illumined in front of my face. As we look at issues, whether they're personal issues or whether they're life issues or whether they're community issues, as we're dealing with today, there's the cross that sits there in front of us. And if for any reason you don't see anything else today, just see the cross, not this piece of glass and wood that was made in San Jose, Costa Rica, by women who had been rescued out of a very heinous life, but see Jesus Christ, who represents what this represents, the cross, and that he is no longer in the tomb, and we need to leave all our issues in the tomb, and he has risen from the dead. And so today, as we move forward and we look at some scriptures in Philippians 2, I hope you see this and not this. This is what I want you to see, is Jesus Christ and his work to save each one of us from our sin and from death itself, and to bring us into new life. Today, we're even bringing in new members. I hope you still want to be members, new members. I mean, and you're going to, each one, in fact, you know what? Let's just lighten it up a little. If you're one of the new members, I see many of you right here, please stand and let's welcome them. And there's some sitting, stand up. There's some here, there's here, they're over here. Welcome. We welcome you to this fellowship. You may be seated. And you each have a little card from us and a note from us, but also each family will get a cross. And again, these are made by women who have been rescued out of a very difficult situation in San Jose, Costa Rica. And put it up in your house. and remember what it represents, the work that Jesus Christ has done. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. God took me to this passage, and I wasn't going to teach on this passage this week, and I was reading this passage, and then we did a funeral yesterday of a good friend of our church's mother, and she and I were working towards the funeral of this 93-year-old woman the other day, and she brought these verses up, unbeknownst to anything. And she, I said, I'm thinking of, God has called me to these verses, and she said, God called her to these verses. And again, I'm not a Pentecostal, and I'm not into all that, but I got to tell you, it was just so confirming that this lady's comfort came from these, of 1,300 pages, these exact verses. And I'd like to read them to you. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, or yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This first half of this really hit me this week. As you look at it, and I'm not going to give you a lot of points, and I don't have PowerPoint today and TVs and all, it's not appropriate, but the scripture teaches itself, and if you have a pen or you highlight on your iPad, however you do it, it's just so meaningful here. That first two words, it says, so if, and we have a wrong understanding sometimes of the word if. If is, I hope you're going to do something if you do this. And that's not what this means. What this means is since. So I don't know if you have a family and someone is going to the store and you go, if you're going to the store, would you also pick up something else? You already know that person's going to the store, but you usually say the word if. If you're going to the store, would you also pick me up some milk, some bread, some this, or my kids would say some potato chips or something like this, and you go, if. What you really mean is, since you're going to the store, since it's already been decided you're going to the store, will you also do something else? And here is what he says. There's four things here that he's not saying if you do these. He's saying to the Philippian church, you are already doing these things. It's like a precursor, a predicate. It's a beginning. He's saying, you're already doing them. And I want you to grab hold of these four things, because this is what it means to be one anothering to each other. We're doing a series on building community with one another. And a part of one another is, it doesn't mean it's always perfect. Marriages are not always perfect. Your individual life is not always perfect. Things are just not always perfect. Sometimes caused by yourself, or like the death of this child from our family a family in the church a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't their fault. Things happen. And this is what he says. And so I'm going to use the word since, because that's what we would understand it to be. It's an assume that's going to happen. Number one, encouragement in Christ. When it says, if any, that's since, there is encouragement in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there should be encouragement in Christ. You and I, as believers, should be encouraging others in Jesus Christ. And you know the word encouraging means, E-N means in, and it's in courage. We have courage as opposed to in fear or in some other aberrant behavior. He says, in courage via or in Christ. You and I need to be encouragers to people in Jesus Christ. And he's saying to the church, they're already doing this. And then he goes on, there's a little comma there for a reason, because there's a second one. He goes, if any comfort from love. We've been talking about love the last few weeks, the agape love, the love we are to have as God loves us, the phileo love, the love that we should have as brothers and sisters, and then that storge love, the love of a mother to a child, a father to a child. And we saw that from Tamar sharing the love she has for her new son, not newborn son, but new son to her these last year and a half, though he were 4 or 5 years old at the time. That's that love that we should have. And he says, comfort one another from that love. We should encourage one another in Christ. We should comfort one another with love. But he continues and puts a comma there and goes, and participate in the Spirit. And the Spirit is capitalized. We are to participate in the work of the Holy Spirit. You have heard me say over and over again that we are the hands, the feet, and yes, even the voice at times of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Spirit speaks to you, you are prompted to do things. Later, in a few weeks, we'll talk about love and good deeds and other things we're prompted to do. God has called us to participate in the Spirit. Now, we can participate in criticism and innuendo and other things like that. You certainly can do it because that is the norm in life. We can participate in shooting our wounded. I mean, we've seen that around town and around the world. Or we can participate with the Spirit. And then he puts another comma. If it wasn't enough that we have to act like Christ, encourage like Christ, we got to comfort with love that comes from God, and then we got to participate with the Spirit. I mean, this is the Trinity. Here's a picture of the Trinity. You don't even think of the Trinity here, but we've got to act like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we do this, he goes, and just show affection and some sympathy. Just gets back down to earth and says, just show some human affection and human sympathy. Yes, encourage like Christ. Yes, love like God. Yes, participate like the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Just be a human and show some affection and sympathy. It's an amazing thing. And then the reason, this is all before, he says, you're already doing this. Because he uses the word since, or if any, since you're already doing these four things, now, this is what I want you to start doing. Complete my joy, which means let's do it. Complete means to now add on, add a completion to this. Complete my joy by being of the same mind. Wow. Having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. He just kind of keeps repeating that. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And he defines humility a little later. We don't have time to do it, but he defines it by Christ's humility to coming to earth and leaving some of his godly characteristics so that he could become man and flesh and dwell among us and die on the cross. That is humility at its full. And he says, do all those things. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his or her own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he says, encourage like Christ, love like God the Father loved, who sent his only begotten Son. Participate in the work of the Spirit that is moving among us. That's the community side. And complete my joy by showing humility. and coming together in one mind. And that one mind is the mind of Christ. That's what I've been learning this week. Now you ask, how can I stand up here? I've been crying for 4 days. Elizabeth's been crying for 4 days. So you go, Bill, you're normally up here crying about other things. Why aren't you crying about this? Maybe there's no water left in the ducts. I don't know. But I encourage you, I encourage me to be godly men and women as we walk this sometimes bumpy road that is before us. And as I mentioned over the last couple of weeks, it is a community that we have chosen to do this. We could have very easily have kind of pushed this one under the rug, just kind of let it go away, but no. Because I believe to speak the truth in love, there needs to be authenticity in that. Now, I'd like to do something to close. I want to bring it to each of us. And so I'm going to read a story that has had incredible meaning to me over the years. And I was thinking through this story, and my son Greg mentioned it as well. And I'd like to read it. And I want you to think through this. It's a children's story. It's a story of a little boy who had been very bad, and he turned into a dragon. A dragon. Okay, so he's now a dragon, but he doesn't know he's a dragon because there were no mirrors. And so he realizes he's carrying a heavy weight and doesn't know why he's carrying this heavy weight. He doesn't know that he's carrying this heavy weight. And the weight is released, and he's telling this story to his cousins who are a part of the story. It's in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis. And this is Eustace telling the story of being a dragon. Well, anyway, I looked up and saw the very thing, the last thing I had ever expected to see, a huge lion coming slowly towards me. And one strange thing was that there was no moon last night, but there was moonlight where the lion was. So it came nearer and nearer. I was terribly afraid of it. You may think that being a dragon, I could have knocked any lion out easily enough, but it wasn't that kind of fear. I wasn't afraid of it eating me. I was just afraid of it. You can understand that. Well, it came up close to me and looked me straight in the eyes. And I shut my eyes tight. But that wasn't any good because it told me to follow it. You mean it spoke? I don't know if it spoke, but it told me to follow it. And I knew I had come to do what it told me. So I got up and followed it. And it led me a long way into the mountains. And there were always this moonlight over and round the lion wherever he went. So at last we came to the top of the mountain I had never seen before, and on top of this mountain there was a garden, trees and fruit and everything, and in the middle of that garden was a well. I knew it was a well because you could see the water bubbling up from the bottom of it, but it was a lot larger than most wells, like a very big round bath with marble steps going down into it. The water was as clear as anything I thought I had ever seen. And I wanted to bathe in it and get rid of the pain I was feeling. But the lion told me I must undress first. Mind you, I don't know if he said it any words out loud or not. I was just going to say that I couldn't undress because I hadn't any clothes on when I suddenly thought that dragons are snaky sort of things, and snakes can cast off their skins. Oh, of course, thought I. That's what the lion means. So I started scratching myself, and my scales began coming off all over the place. And then I scratched a little deeper. And instead of just the scales coming off here and there, my whole skin started peeling off beautifully, like it does after an illness or after, like you're peeling a banana. In a minute or two, I just stepped out of it. I could see it lying there beside me, looking rather nasty. It was a most lovely feeling So I started to go down into the well for my bath. But just as I was going to put my feet into the water, I looked down and saw that they were all hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, like a dragon. "Oh, that's all right," I said. "It only means I had another smaller suit underneath the first one. And all I'll have to do is get rid of that one too." So I scratched and tore again, and this underskin peeled off beautifully, and out I stepped and left it lying beside the other one and went down to the well for a bath. Well, exactly the same thing happened again, and I thought to myself, "Oh dear, however many skins have I got to take off, for I was longing to bathe." So I scratched away for the third time and got off a third skin, just like the other two skins, and stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had been no good. Then the lion said, "You will have to let me undress you." I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now. So I shall just lay flat down on my back to let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling off the skin, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to hear, to bear it, was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peeled off. You know, if you've ever picked a scab of a sore place, it hurts like the dickens. But it's such fun to see it coming off. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I had done it myself the other three times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker, darker, more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that very much, for I was very tender underneath now that I had no skin on, and threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious, and as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my body. And then I saw why. I had turned into a boy again. God wants to renew us back to our former selves. And many of us want that. Probably most of us want that. So we try and we pull and we can do it. We make resolutions, and sins that beset us are hidden. And we say, we can take care of it. We can do it. I can get rid of my sin. I can peel off that little sin. I can just pull it off like a scab. The big sins, we can just yank it off like the scales of a dragon. But underneath, it's still there. Because there is only one who can pull it off. That is the Lion of Judah in this story called Aslan, Jesus Christ. For those I mentioned earlier, for you, for me, the answer is Jesus Christ. It is not anyone else. I would love to come and pull your skin off. I would love to be the one. But ultimately, it is only Jesus Christ who can do it. Through the power that God has, through the Spirit that God has given us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? So we're not here today to throw stones. We're not here today to throw innuendos. We're not here today to shoot the wounded. We're here today to look at our own lives So right now, close your eyes and just pretend you're looking at the well and it's a beautiful, pristine, and what do you see as the reflection? They didn't have mirrors back then, so the reflection. God has called us to reflect Him. A few moments ago, Clay opened and said, come down and pray, and several of you did. This is a place, you don't have to come down here to pray. You can pray in your own seat. You can talk to the Lord by yourself there. But let me just say that by just coming forward and just kneeling or just pausing, it's an opportunity to pray. This is a time and an invitation for us just to come clean to the Lord.